Hello and welcome to the Twickenham CC podcast. My name's Dan Huff and I'm secretary of the club. It feels like it's been a long time since we had a good old-fashioned chinwag about all things TCC and all things cricket. So with that in mind, I'm really pleased to be able to get the band back together and to have a fantastic foursome here of club chairman, Eugene Berger. How are you, Eugene? You well?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Dan. Looking forward to cricket season and especially the new partners, Big Smoke. A lot of their honey nectar will be drunk this year.
Yeah, 15 barrels worth we're getting. Is that right? Is that
what I hear? Depends. We'll see how much we drink.
Or more, depending on how we go. Yeah, good. So, excellent. And Donners, Andy Donlan. How are you, mate? You good?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good. I will second what Eugene said. Looking forward to the cricket season very much.
And you're confident you'll be playing? I know you've had a bit of an injury-ravaged winter, right? But there's an air of confidence you'll be back at some point in the summer?
Yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later. I saw the surgeon earlier today. He's effectively signed me off, so I've just got to crack on with the physio. But yeah, going well.
Marvellous.
Is he also going to fix you instead of you just cracking on with the physio?
So the level goes down, right? That's where we are. Marvellous. I think Donna's his partner may well be listening into this, you. So yeah, we're not going to get back
there. We still love you, Tessa.
Don't upset Tessa. You know, Tessa's a very important part of the bigger picture here in terms of her scoring abilities. So we need to keep her on side. Last but not least tonight, though, obviously very happy to welcome back Steve Watts. Whippets in tow, if the cap is anything to go by. Is that right, Wattsy? How are you?
Racing around the house, mate, aren't they? amazing to be in glorious Technicolor for the first time. It really is something different. It feels like I've been brought into a new era.
And for those who are not 100% aware, of course, this is going out, or at least parts of this will go out via Instagram, about which I know very little, but Eugene tells me it's very good. And though, of course, if you're just listening to it through the normal channels, then Wattsy is looking particularly radiant this evening, as I'm sure you'd expect. So, all good. First and foremost, guys, we've had a bit of cricket, and it's been, well, how does one put it? It's been interesting cricket. It's not been long cricket. It's not taken 5 days out of our lives, but I think we've all been watching it with quite some interest. Yuge, as an outsider looking in, a South African watching England play India, what have you made of it all?
I think you best described it with we've seen a bit of cricket, because it has only been a very little bit. What a crazy test series. Well, you know, I think when Channel 4 were buying the rights, they misheard it, and it was 5 days of cricket, not five tests of cricket, because it didn't go very long, or four tests or whatever it was, but just unbelievable. Personally, I think that as a neutral, I was robbed of cricket. I was expecting to see, you know, a fair contest between bat and ball. And unfortunately, there was only a contest between, you know, between the bowlers, to see who the best bowler was, which was rather disappointing. And like I said, I feel really sorry for Channel 4. You know, whatever they paid, I think they should get a refund. But, you know, that's not up to me. One thing I will say.
Well, I don't think they paid very much, Hugh. I think they only paid, £2 or £3 million. So it might sound a lot for us. But I think in the great scheme of things, they came in at the last moment with a pretty cheap deal. But I take your point. They probably wanted, 20 days of cricket, right? No, I assume we're carrying on. But Hugh appears to have left us, folks. At least
Donna's so disgusted with
the level
of cricket.
He's done a Piers Morgan.
He's done a Piers Morgan, hasn't he?
A mildly critical question, and he's gone and ran off. Well, I'm going to ask you, Watson, what did you make of it? I'm sure you won't go running off.
Where do I start, Dan? look.
Donners, get yourself a cigar and some whiskey. This could take a while.
I think, look, this is a series that now, outside of the Ashes, for us that love Test cricket, is the one. You know, England, India, India, England, either way. Is a huge, huge test series in cricket. And it felt a little bit like a farce to me, the whole thing. Whether we talk about the rotation of the squad, you know, would you go to the World Cup of football and then leave out all your best players because they played in the league all year? The pitches, some of the... I'm not going to get into that. We were... The third umpiring, we were outplayed by India. Let's not get this wrong. They created their best conditions at home, which kind of entitled to in some ways. And they had the two best spinners by an absolute country mile. We didn't play particularly good cricket. and they bowled well, but it didn't feel like Test cricket growing up to me. The first Test did, and it's not just because England won. If India had won the toss, they may well have won that Test. But it was a proper Test match pitch, you know, had a bit for everyone. And it set a really good tone for the series. I was really excited after that, not just because we won it, but because it was a good competitive game. But honestly, I mean, we've had all sorts of analysts. We're saying what pitch from Test 2 onwards, and then Test 3 was even worse, wasn't it? I mean, it was bonkers. England's match player selection was bonkers. Very odd.
Well, there was an irony with that stadium, the magnificent stadium in Ahmedabad, 130,000 people. That goodness knows how much it costs, but they've obviously spent, I think Simon Hughes made this comment, about 50p on the wicket. And I thought that, you know, there is a mismatch, let's just say. And one wonders, will the ODI pitches be like that? Probably not. But Donalds, what do you make of it? You very much in Watts's camp. It was all a bit...
Much the same as Watts. Yeah, it started off really quite positively, and then it just all went pretty much pear-shaped. Just as well, listening to the commentators who were obviously reporting on the game from various places around the UK, people dialing in from their bedrooms and whatnot. And I think it was quite funny. I think it was it Bumble that they cut to when he was out bringing the bins in or something?
Well, that was the previous series, wasn't it? That wasn't this one. Well,
there you go.
I do remember it. And he was talking about, you know, how his wheelie bin was in the wrong place and stuff. I remember that. Yeah.
But just strange all round.
Yeah. And Hughes, our own Piers Morgan, has now flounced back in after flouncing back out. You're with us, Hughes.
I am.
Any further stuff on that? I mean, one thing that occurred to me, if we produce wickets like that in the Middlesex County League, then we'd have the committee right on us.
Yeah.
You know, tracks like that, you're going to get into trouble. But I don't suppose India are, right?
Well, that's where I sort of, I don't know, before I walked out Piers Morgan-esque, I was trying to make a statement around Somerset. And remember when they got docked points. Wondering if the ICC are going to do the same sort of thing to India. But I guess India, the BCCI, own the ICC. So, I made a comment on one of the other programs that it's not DRS anymore. It's now called IRS, the Indian Review System, because it was just ludicrous, the decisions that they were making. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got a sniper, an Indian sniper, looking at me from the roof, the amount of comments that I've made about the BCCI. But it's just, you know, I now totally understand why neutral umpires and neutral representatives are needed in home games. So, you know, an example, Australian South Africans in an India England series is an example.
You know, I would say that I think some of them were just genuine mistakes. I think some of the things were just incompetence rather than any bigger sort of bigger things at play. But I hear you. I mean, one of the things that occurred to me about it, though, is it's easy to forget that, you know, how would India's batters have got on against India's bowlers? And I'm pretty sure they would have struggled. So whilst India won 3-1 and were the better team, let's be crystal clear about that, particularly if you take Joe Root's batting out, I mean, you know, if you take his batting out the first test, we'd have lost all four, wouldn't we? But I do think that the difference was that India's spinners were very good and ours are not very good. Leach is all right. Bess is not really all right, even though he's actually took a few wickets. And I do think that small things made a difference there. I think the bowling was just so on top and theirs was better than ours. That's why they won.
Why didn't Parkinson or Verdi play? They travelled all the way there. Why didn't they get a crack? They couldn't have done any worse than Bess, in my opinion.
Watsy, any thoughts?
I'd rather have had a Harmony out there, to be honest.
Yep. He would have taken all wickets, I suspect, yeah. I mean, Joe Root.
He'd have got it in the right area.
He would have pitched it. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. Anyway. I was going to ask the guys, so what do you make of this World Test Championship? I mean, it's a slightly bigger question, but of course, we're now going to have a final at Lords.
No, it's not.
And is it not at Lords? Have I got that
no,
wrong?
No, it's been moved. Have you not heard?
Talk to me.
Oh, is it?
No.
No, okay.
So go on. It was going to be at Lords, but then apparently the grass was going to be too long, so therefore it would be difficult for India to play on. So they've moved it to Southampton, England's premier spinning wicket in the UK.
You made that up.
I'm not.
Tell me
you
made that up.
Now, I've not made that up.
So the final of the World Test Championship is at Southampton.
Yes.
Well,
that says everything.
Southampton is the Aegeus Bowl, right? I'm not making a ball. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's where it is. Yeah.
It's biosecure as well. There's only 2 grains.
Now, that's the tagline that they will use, yes. But when you look at it in Reels terms, that's the one that turns.
I love this. Hugh's gone full-on cricket QAnon, hasn't he?
Basically, cricket sorted out video replay with DRS. It's pretty good. We're all pretty happy with that. But it is how football have messed up VAR compared to DRS. International tournaments, cricket and football, on the other hand. Like, they cannot stop shooting themselves in the foot, can they? Time and time again. This test match tournament should be brilliant. It should be simple.
Yep.
It should be, right, let's take out 6 months of the cricket calendar or a year of the cricket calendar, play each other once in a test match. You know, however you do it, and have 6 months of proper international different teams play other teams like we do in the other tournaments. It would be fantastic. And instead we've got just this mind-boggling mess that nobody who outside of, you know, complete geeks understand. I have no idea why New Zealand are playing India and why the results matter, which means it's meaningless. You know, if you can't have 95% of people who are interested in cricket understanding clearly why two teams are getting to the final and having some exciting build up into that, then forget the tournament.
Yeah,
I hear you. And it is, it's a problem of vested interest again, though, isn't it? Because the big three countries, you know, England, Australia, India, they want to play each other quite a lot, and I don't think they're gonna compromise on that. Not too many folks want to play away in Bangladesh because there's not so much money in it. And I think, given all those vested interests, it's just the best of a very bad job, isn't it? And I'm not even sure I think it's the best of a bad job. I think I'm with you, Watsy. I just don't see the point. I mean, I guess I might watch the game when it's on because it's a cricket game, and I'll watch it. But if I don't watch it, they are doomed, you know, because no one else will.
But the concept is good.
It's excellent.
Like, yeah. I was all for it. The concept of having a World Test Championship is the purest form of the game. You've got people that play play cricket their whole lives to play at that level, and there is no broader competition, world competition to play on. It's one of the only sports and situations in the world that you have that, and yet we've completely messed it up. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when you've got, you know, 5 overs left to chase 40. It stopped raining. The pitch is fine. They say, sorry, lads, it's a bit late now. We're going off.
Run-ups are a bit damp. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one interesting permutation that I did see towards the end of the India-England series was that in order for Australia to qualify for the Test Championship final, England needed to beat India. So if England beat India, it would have been Australia versus New Zealand and not India. And I think that would have been...
Well, I don't have a problem with that. In the sense that that could happen in a football tournament as well. You could win a game if you're out of the tournament and it could help somebody else. But I was just struggling to work out exactly how. You know, 2-0 means this, 3-1 means that. And it just got confused and I just got disinterested, to be honest.
Well, Dan, you use the Duckworth-Lewis system. That's going to be much more simple.
Huge, I don't think that the English would have... You know, I don't think they'd lose games on purpose to stop Australia. It's not like that.
Nah.
When we play them in the Ashes, God, we want to beat them. In any cricket, we want to beat them. But not so much that you'd stop them getting to the final of a tournament if they deserve it.
The last thing I want to say on that very quickly, guys, was I was going to just sort of... I went to Ahmed about it in 2001. And one of those weird moments in your life where you just wish that the world would, you know, a big hole had opened up and swallow you. Because the stadium was a fraction different back then. And it was basically, it was about 100 England fans. Because Ahmedabad's in Gujarat, and Gujarat's a dry state. So, you know, not massively attractive for the Barmy army. And there were very few England fans there. I remember sitting there and the stadium was, you know, as I say, was a bit bleak. And England was struggling a lot because India were quite good and we were really bad. And I turned around to the bloke next to me, an England fan, and I just, you know, you're there for 5 days. You get to know these folks. I said, oh, you've been to India before to watch cricket? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, you've been to Ahmedabad? And he said, yeah, I have, yeah. And I said, oh, I've never been up this neck of the woods before. And he said, yeah, I played here once. And I was like, oh, did you? What was that? Was that like a tour, club tour? And he said, no, it was a World Cup game. And I'm like, oh. Right, was it? And I'm desperately, right, come on, Dan, think, who on earth is this? I said, right, you're playing for England, right? Said, yeah. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And I didn't get it. And the guy could tell. And I felt, you know, come on, I know my cricket, apparently. And then he said, your bowl left arm spins. So it wasn't a bad place to bowl. And then I still couldn't get it. So I had to go home at night and look up who it was. And it was Richard Illingworth, who's now an international umpire. One of only six people ever to have got a wicket with his first ball ever in Test cricket. And the rest of the day couldn't go quick enough in my ball. I had to get home. I had to find a way of finding out it was without looking like a complete, you know, moron. But very nice man.
Was that back when Ray Illingworth was chairman of selectors?
It was a bit later than that, Steve. But yeah, one of those moments where you know, you feel a fraction small. And then he was very nice. If he's listening, Richard, I thought you were the nicest man in the world. You dealt with it very professionally. Enough of such things. Folks, I was going to bring us a bit closer to home, really. Well, no, not closer to home, but sort of, I was going to say bring it back to proper cricket, but this isn't proper cricket in my mind. So I wanted to talk to you about the West Indies v Sri Lanka, because it's sort of, this clip's gone viral of one of the less orthodox dismissals you're likely to see around the international circuit. Donners, have you seen this dismissal? Do you want to talk us through what happened?
Yeah, I have seen it. I mean, I couldn't tell you who was involved. I wasn't watching it that closely, but yeah, so the batsman's basically just knocked the ball down at his feet, and the two batsmen have contemplated a run. He's taken a couple of steps out of his crease down the wicket to go for the run, and obviously been sent back. And has sort of not really known where the ball is and sort of taken a step back towards the crease. I don't think was in any way obstructing the field, to be quite honest. It's a bizarre decision.
So Pollard, the bowler, tries to run at the ball, doesn't he? Gets very grumpy and then decides to appeal because he reckons the batsman, whose name I don't remember either, I'll be honest, was getting in the way, impairing the field. And this went to the third umpire, Watsy, right?
I believe so, Dan. Yeah. I've actually only seen the initial clip, so I haven't seen the umpire bit. But farcical how it was given out. I mean, it just didn't look like anything.
Yeah. Well, I think in the end, the third umpire, it's one of those decisions where I bet he was sitting there thinking, why me? How on earth have I got a pass judgment? Because, I mean, I guess the guy was standing over the ball. And I guess Pollard was impeded. But, I mean, gee whiz, if you're doing that, I've played in games where if that happens, it's going to be civil war. There'll be punches thrown if that were to happen in a club game. You know, it'd be like, you know, you'd never see it.
Who was the third umpire? Who was the third umpire?
Pass, not sure.
So the third umpire, was a West Indian.
I hope he wasn't Indian.
No, yeah. West Yeah. So I keep going back to this. If that was a neutral umpire, the decision would have been very different. And again, you know, I sort of got the clip and I had a good look at it. I mean, I can understand the appealing, because what's not been said so far is that the non-striker was basically standing next to Pollard halfway down the pitch. So, you know, Pollard wanted to pick the ball up and throw down the non-strikers, and it had nothing to do with the guy that was standing or, you know, facing effectively. I'm with you guys. You know, he wasn't looking where the ball was, just, you know, literally ran backwards and the ball, you know, hit the back of his foot and sort of, you know. But from my perspective, you know, it's again, I think, because of the non-neutral umpires, you know, any other umpire.
See, I don't see it that way.
No, I
don't see it that way. I think once it's gone to the third umpire, he's in a nightmare position because the guy's definitely standing over the ball. The point is, Pollard, what a, now insert expletive of choice. What are you doing appealing, you clown? You know, isn't it the spirit of cricket, guys? Well, cricket's better than this. Obviously, it's not, you know, clearly. But for me, it was more that Pollard even went down this route. I thought, you know, that says a lot about you, and it's not all positive in my book.
The fact that you've just invoked the spirit of cricket, honestly, I might have to go and see if there are pigs flying outside.
With a degree of irony in the voice, Watsy, I hope that came across appropriately. Yeah.
It did make a huge impact on the game, didn't it, with the West Indies winning by 8 wickets?
Pass.
No, it didn't.
I couldn't even tell you one. I was gathering that. But, I mean, it's one of those games, I might well have watched it, but I was, you know, I've watched quite a lot of cricket recently, and I think I couldn't quite fit it into the negotiating sort of strategy with the good lady, Mrs. H, because she's seen enough cricket of late, so I think I'll let that one go.
Just to be clear, I didn't watch it. I literally just looked up the result quickly, just to have a look, so I sounded intelligent.
Whatever, Yuge, whatever. Yeah, we'll believe you. I was going to ask you though, guys. I mean, that's clearly a bonkers dismissal. Have you had anything that you've experienced or that you've been involved in maybe that's been anything like that? Crazy dismissals, the type of thing you're only ever going to see once? I mean, we could all talk about Nihal Tomar's Mancad, but of course, Mancads do happen.
Nihal comes into this a lot because the LBW he gave me out was still probably my most bizarre dismissal, given it hit me just under the armpit. But I've seen, obviously, as third team captain, I've seen hundreds of not outs that were bizarre, bizarrely given not out. Dan, you'll remember that one against Finchley. I think I'm pretty sure you played in that game when we ran out.
That was
a certain individual who refused to leave the pitch. I think the one kind of, I've not really had loads. One sort of funny-ish one that wasn't seen as funny at the time was I played in a game where the wicketkeeper did the whole throw, came in from the boundary. He's taken it very cleverly in the back and then motioned as if it's gone for overthrows. Batsmen have turned and gone for a second and he's just whipped off the bails.
Which, of course, now wouldn't be out. It'd be a 5-run penalty.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Simulation, Watsy.
Oh, I didn't know I mean, this was 20 years ago.
You mean 10 years ago, Watsy? You don't look nearly as old to be 20 years ago.
At the time, we didn't know whether to laugh or cry. It was like, it was all those things, you know. It was very clever, but it was completely wrong. So... yeah, that's probably the weirdest one I've been involved in.
I mean, I remember you going out to bat with Gilly with Gilly Sanchez, and he didn't have his pads on. But of course, he did manage. And I'm thinking, timed out must have been in the game because he would have raced back to put his pads on. But of course, timed out doesn't count if you're openers. So he could have taken forever to put that right. But it's still a great story when you go out to bat with somebody who hasn't got the pads on.
I think in terms of being out, I think it was Zaffa that was the striker. I'm sure it was him. It was about 3 years ago. He smashed the ball back. I was backing up, and the bowler just couldn't get out of the way of it, and it hit his foot, I think, and rolled up, shot onto the stumps, and I was run out by about 10 yards. But I mean, that's
such a dodder's way to get out. Yeah. He wasn't even trying.
I wouldn't have minded, but I had a few runs that day as well. So it didn't happen very often, but it's just one of those things, isn't it?
It happens, doesn't it? Yeah.
Decision, I do remember. I think it was you, Disco. Was it Royal Windsor a couple of years ago? You were on 97, 98?
92, oh, Andrew, 92, yeah.
Okay. But you've moved on from that, have you?
Not really, no.
Doesn't sound like Dan remembers it very well, no.
No, I don't remember it at all, and it definitely didn't quite hit me under the armpit, but it won't fall. No, we'll move on. But I've got a couple that occurred to me. One was involving me, and that was, you might remember last year when I sort of had a horrific slog at a really wide ball for the twos on the green, and it was mega wide. But struggling to get the ball off the square as usual, so I thought, wide, hit it. And the problem was, it was a wide, and Stewie Amos gave it as a wide. And because he was at the pavilion end, he turned to the pavilion to signal the wide, and hadn't heard me feather it behind. Of course, I've set off and walked, so that was all rather embarrassing for everybody concerned. And sort of when you're a walker, you can't go two steps and go back. That's, you know, that breaks the moral code. So I felt a bit sorry for Stu, because had he been at the other end of the ground, of course, he'd have seen me walk, and it probably would never have happened. But that's one. And of course, thanks to Eugene, it's all on pitch vision, so I've got that forever more to look back on. But the other one was at Redditch, which was where I often find, you know, when you're at the non-striker's end, I was not at the crease at the time, and the ball gets whacked back at you. It's always something of a comedy moment when it hits you, right? Now, on this particular one, the lad hit the ball really hard. The bowler got a fingertip on it, and it went straight into the gonads of the batter, who was absolutely gone. He was poleaxed on the floor. And, of course, it then rolls onto the stumps. So he's lying down out of his crease. So really worrying for, you know, whether he's going to have children in the future. And he's out. And of course, we sort of have to get, like, assistance to him. And at some point, someone has to say, by the way, you can come with me because you're gone. And he didn't know at all. So someone tried to explain to him, no, we're not going off for a quick toilet break. You're out. And his reaction was brilliant because he wouldn't have it. And he was in pain, but arguing all the way to the boundary. Maybe he had to be there, but it was one of the more strange dismissals that
I've seen. How many balls were left?
Hey.
That took Yuji a while,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
Very good, Don. I like it. I like it. Yuji, how about you? Have you seen anything weird and wonderful?
No, I haven't seen weird and wonderful dismissals, but the weirdest thing I've seen on a cricket pitch involves me is, I think a couple of years ago, unfortunately, skipper in the twos, go out to toss with the opposition skipper. I think that he has said that we will have a bowl first. And I thought that he said we were going to have a bat first. So I said, well, you know, I went to our openers and I said, right, lads, can you put your pads on, please? And we had their set of openers and our set of openers padded up on the side of the field waiting to go in.
Brilliant.
So,
and the thing was, they met, didn't they, outside?
Yeah, they did.
And they're looking at each other like, something's gone wrong here.
Yeah. And then the umpires kindly told me, no, you guys are fielding. You lost the toss and they've put you into field. I was like, oh, okay. Guys, sorry about that. Let's quickly get our whites on, because I was there in my t-shirt and shorts thinking that we were batting, you know, waiting for the openers to go and score 200 on their own. But that was an interesting scenario. But no, nothing untoward from a cricketing point of view that I've seen dismissal-wise.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of time. And knowing the way Twickenham CC rolls, I'm sure there'll be plenty of examples for us to call on over the next few months. Which brings us up to where we are. Now, we're pretty hopeful that we're going to get a full season in, right? And we've had all those positive indications from our leagues. So it's next month, I guess, that we begin with the traditional fridge fixtures. Do you want to talk us through where we start and what we can expect?
Well, more importantly, I think it's the government that are giving us the go-ahead to play outdoor sport. You know, from the 29th of March, we're allowed to play in sixes. And, you know, that means that hopefully sport or recreational sport will be able to go ahead. Our first fixture is on the 11th of May. So we're recording this on the 11th of March. April? Where are we? 11th? Yeah, 11th of March.
No, 11th. Yes.
And we're playing on the 11th of April. So, yeah, exactly a month today. You know, it'll probably be first portion of summer then. And then when the first 11 play against Acton the following week, winter will be back. So that'll be, you know, we'll play in the nice warm sum. And then the ones will have the freezing cold winter back.
The thing is that's so true. Englefield Green is always a nice, mild spring day. Ooh. And it's always a nice afternoon out. Acton, 6 days later, always 6 days later. And I remember playing there with literally five jumps on. In fact, it's the only game I've ever seen players unilaterally decide that they'd had enough halfway through the game. And we were 100 for naught, chasing 180, me and JP Conyer batting, so I was a bit annoyed. But I totally got it, because it was like minus bloody 25 at the time.
Wow.
That fixture is always, no, it wasn't minus 25, but it was really cold. And the players just said, I've had enough of this, we're off. So they all turned and went home. And after that, Yuge?
Yeah, Dan. So the following week, we have North London. The first 11 are away at North London. Second 11 is at home. I think then we've got one more week before we move into...
We do. We play Maldon Wanderers.
Yep. Ones are at home and the twos are away, which is rather nice for me because Maldon Wanderers is up the road from my house. It's like a home game.
Marvellous.
So, yeah. And then we're into the season from a ones and twos. But Watsy, do you want to maybe talk about the threes if you know what they are?
Well, I can help out there if you'd like me to, Watsy.
I'm looking at the fours fixtures, Hugh. The way I batted last year, my threes days are numbered, mate.
But the fours and the threes both have one sort of friendly that we've designated as a 14 friendly and a 13 friendly. Hine's taken the fours over to Ali Pali, which seems like a bit of a trek to me, but I know Hine was very keen to organise that.
I'm a third team.
I was going to say, you want to start in the threes, Watsy, yeah. Because the threes are playing at home on a Sunday on the green against Plowman's. So I think it might be not a bad call.
Donners will be involved in that game too.
One of my favourite lunches as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll get Plowman's in a bit of a pickle. Always enjoy that.
Oh, dear. But apparently, you know, we played them in previous years and it's been a good fixture, and that's going to be the designated sort of threes game. There is one cloud on the horizon for those who are not aware, and that's that St Mary's College have reasonably predictably, to be honest, said that their ground's not going to be available through the rest of the summer. And so we're currently thinking of ways around that. We're looking at at least three of the thirds home games will be on the green on a Sunday. The other six, we're trying to work our way through options, to be honest. Broom Road is an option, again on a Sunday. But we only found out last week, usually.
Yeah,
that this was on the radar. So we're trying to do something about it. Unfortunate, but many other clubs are in the same position. I think it's going to be a challenge for some clubs to get these games played. And we'll just do do what we can.
Yep. On a more positive note, though, Dan, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of our partners this year. You know, we've got our new title partner that's come on board who's sponsoring the men's and juniors. So we've got Hedson Group who've come on board. So Martin and Jeff have kindly offered to be our title sponsors. They're on the front of the shirts. SRB are in their third year of sponsoring us. They're going to be on the sleeve alongside Big Smoke Brewery, who's also going to be on the sleeve of just the seniors, just to be clear. So the junior shirts do not have any alcohol branding on their shirts for obvious reasons. And then, yeah, I mean, our first 11 have got two more sponsors, that being Meat John from a butchery point of view, and our very own John Trippett's company called Yumbrella, who's going to be cooking up a storm for us on, you know, on Friday evenings when the juniors are training, on Saturdays when we're sort of eating food, and then on Sundays when there's either the third 11 or the women's playing. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to be a regular sight on the pavilion at the Green.
Marvellous. Marvellous. And we've got junior cricket starting soon?
Correct. Junior cricket starts really soon, in actual fact. I think it starts middle of April, their first games. Their first training fixture is on the 16th of April on a Friday evening, of which that's for the under-9s to the under-12s, which will be good fun. So, yeah, that training, so it's going to become a festive part of the cricket season now on Friday night. So for those of you that are listening that want to come down, the bar will be open, barbecue will be lit, or braai, as I like to call it. And then, yeah, we will obviously have a couple of, you know, shandies to make sure that the body is hydrated enough to play cricket the following day.
Well, rumour had it that the new social secretary, Harmeet Singh, was having a three-line wick for those, you know, for those Friday night sessions. You know, you've got to be there, guys. You know, he was very keen to, you know, to make an impact as social sec and to arrange events. So in all seriousness, Harmeet is up for the challenge. And that's great to see because he's going to be a fantastic social sec for the next few months, I think.
I think that the three-line whip will turn into a three-night session with Harmeet in charge.
Likely. I mean, there's strong evidence to back up that assertion, isn't there?
Yep. There's history.
you mentioned that there won't be any alcohol advertising on the junior kit. Is it a fair assumption that the logos could be attached to the vet kit? I'd argue there's a lot more surface area on which we could advertise on the alcohol branding as well. I think that would tick all the boxes.
Yeah, we definitely.
The whole kit could just be the logo, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can see what he's using his marketing degree here. He's going to make the whole logo, the kit, the whole logo. I like that.
Well, but then they have to pay us more money for the space. So I figure they can just ship down a few yards of ale down to the vets games and we'll just literally wear their
kit. I like that. We will. I think we all qualify for the vets, don't we?
Of course.
We do. All four of us here.
Rightly, but yeah.
And used in terms of kit, if people want to buy new kit, new white kit, new training kit, it's available on the TCC website.
Correct, right? Yeah, TCC website. The Missouri store is up and running. We've created the bundles. They're all up. So if you go and have a look at the TCC store, I would wait, though. The reason I say that is for those of you that have started paying your subs or paid in full already, you will be receiving a voucher in the next 24 hours. You might have already received the voucher, depending on when I can edit this and get this podcast out. But yeah, so you do get your free shirt. The bundles are being created. Those bundles include jumpers, plain trousers, hats. So, you know, there's some really good discounts involved on there. So definitely get involved. There are jock straps. Yeah, there are jock straps, yep. But they only come in small.
A belt, a ball with a bell in it for me. Would that be all right?
Yeah. What? So you're going to have a stunner of a season now. Yep. I can see it. You're just going to play off instinct. Yeah. Do you remember that scene in Star Wars, the original one, where Luke's learning and he puts this massive visor? That's you.
That is exactly what it feels like when I'm batting down, except I don't have the force.
We're going to change that this year. Yeah. We're going to change that this year. Cool. Guys, I think we covered a lot of ground tonight. I was going to say, I mean, we've got a small number of friendly fixtures on the Green on Sunday through the course of the year as well. And I've had two people today come back to me saying they'd like to come back and play because they've sort of, you know, they followed TCC on social media and they played in yesteryear. James Jordan, maybe before your time. I don't know if you know JJ. Yeah, good guy. And I think it just goes to show that you can check out at TCC, but you never leave, to quote the famous Hotel California song. So I thought that was really good that the community is still out there and still thriving. So, folks, thanks for your time. We will no doubt chat just before the season starts to have a good season preview. But in the meantime, go well.
Thanks, Dan. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thanks.